Despite, or perhaps in response to, President Donald Trump's continuing criticism of the media, public confidence in the industry has rebounded relative to this time last year. Let's get the latest real news from Frank Newport, editor-in-chief at the Gallup poll. Hi, Frank.
Hello, Dave.
Frank, is it true Americans are less inclined to shoot the messenger?
It is. We had a big drop in that measure last year, which was election year. We asked this every September in our annual governance poll. Only 32% of Americans last year said they had confidence in the mass media, such as newspapers, TV, and radio. That's how we phrased it, when it comes to reporting the news fairly and accurately. And right now, we're back up to 41%. So that's a 9-point gain from last year to this year. Still not great. You've got less than a majority of Americans who have confidence in the media to report the news fairly and accurately, but clearly up from where it was last year.
Clearly, Donald Trump is not the only force driving the denigration of the regard for news, though he has stayed pretty constant in that regard. What are the variables accounting for this relative rise?
We think, looking at the data, that it has to do with Democrats, maybe a pushback or a rebellion of sorts, because when we look at the numbers last year compared to this year, it is Democrats which have jumped up almost 20 points in terms of their confidence in the media. Democrats have always been more positive than Republicans, particularly in more recent years. But this year compared to last year, Democrats really jumped up. Compared to last year, Republicans, who have very little confidence in the media, down there in the teens, didn't change at all. Just 14% of Republicans are confident in the media. So Democrats are driving the change.
Frank, one thing that has seemingly stayed constant going back to the presidential campaign, the regard the public has for President Trump's leadership profile.
That's right. We have some dimensions at Gallup that we have developed over many, many, many interviews with leaders and CEOs across the business world over the years. And last year, and I think we talked about it, we applied these to the presidential candidates, at how well do 12 of these leadership characteristics apply to, at that point, the four leading candidates, including Donald Trump, of course. So we thought it would be interesting to repeat that just about Trump. So we re-asked him, and sure enough, not much has changed at all. Trump actually gets a lot of credit for several leadership dimensions, and these aren't shocking. Competitive, intense, emphasizes success, enthusiastic. These are characteristics that even Democrats are willing to say certainly characterize Donald Trump. Now, where he doesn't get much credit at all is at the bottom of the list, being prepared, being consistent, being analytical, being inspiring, and being focused. That's where he scores the lowest. That's very similar to where he was as a candidate. So one thing we learned out of this, Dave, is that he has not pivoted, as it were, in terms of his activities as a leader since he entered the White House, because the public tends to view his strengths and weaknesses almost exactly the same now as they did when he was a candidate last April.
It's an interesting juxtaposition because he does seem to pivot in terms of where he stands on various issues, yet his leadership profile stays relatively constant.
That's right. And we find that when we do some statistical analysis, by the way, that the traits on which he is the highest, that is being competitive and intense and so forth, are not ones that are highly predictive of somebody liking his performance as president. In fact, we've asked workers, rate your CEO on these traits, and we find the same thing, that if a CEO is viewed as competitive and intense and so forth, that doesn't predict well to whether the worker thinks the CEO is doing a good job. It is more things like being visionary and inspiring and caring about individuals that really seem to make a difference. And those aren't the ones that Trump scores highest on.
Frank, the economy is typically regarded as the most important problem facing the nation. Is that still the case?
It is not. 17% of Americans, in answer to our question, what's the most important problem facing the country, that we ask every month, say it's something to do with the economy. And that is low, one of the lowest we've seen in decades now. It was a point there back, let's say, after the recession and the financial meltdown, 2008, 2009, when we had 80, 90% of Americans telling us the most important problem had something to do with the economy. So that is a dramatic reversal in what's left in that vacuum, so to speak, when Americans are asked about the most important problem is governance itself. Americans say the way that the government is performing its job and the need to unify the country is the top problem. Then we get other mentions, but not huge mentions, about things like race relations and immigration. And a few Americans, but just 6%, say that the number one problem facing the country right now is North Korea.
The disregard for the government, I presume, applies to Democrats and Republicans relatively equally?
Democrats are more positive about the government right now than Republicans, which is not a surprise. Over time, when we ask a question like we just asked, how much confidence or satisfaction do you have in the way the nation's being governed, that seems to flip when we have a change in who's occupying the White House. And now that we have a Republican in the White House, Democrats have become less satisfied with the way things are going in terms of governing the nation, and Republicans have become more satisfied.
Let me put it a different way. Is the public happy with the two major political parties?
Well, they aren't happy to the extent that a majority is willing to say we would need a third party, or at least that a third party would certainly help. In fact, we're up to now 61% of Americans, which by a point or two is the highest we've seen since we've been asking this question over the last 15 years, who say a third party is needed. That the two major parties are doing such a poor job that we need somebody else to throw their hat in the ring in terms of a political party. So Americans would welcome a third party if anybody could get one going.
Frank, lastly, back to the economy. Is this regarded as a good time to find a good job?
It is, remarkably so. 61% of Americans say not only is it a good time to find a job, it's a good time to find a quality job, which is how we ask the question. And I say remarkably because we can go back less than 10 years ago, about 2011 or so, and only 20% said it was a good time to find a quality job. And when we go back right after the recession, it was down in single digits. So that 61% is a remarkably high number, the highest we've ever measured, in fact, on this is it a good time to find a quality job question since we've been asking it. And that goes back to 2000.
Thanks, Frank.
You bet, Dave.
Frank Newport, editor-in-chief at the Gallup Poll. He joins us each week at this time on Newsworks Tonight.